You only have a few more hours. Amen. Do you know the Savior? Do you know that child who was born in that manger so many years ago for you? The child who came, Emmanuel, God with us. Most of our songs this morning, we're talking about the shepherds and Jesus being born and the announcement that the shepherds had. And one of the things that always stands out is that the place that Jesus was born, of all of the places he could have been born. And we ask ourselves, why? Why was he born in a manger of all places? And our title today is Why the Manger Instead of a Mansion? A king, you would expect to be born in a mansion. The Lord of Lords, you would expect to be born in a mansion, in a place that stood out. He wasn't even born in a home, but in a manger. And there's a reason for that, and we'll see that as we go through this message today. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, and it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Father, we come before you this morning thanking you once again for your word that we're able to hold in our hands and hide in our hearts, that we can have an understanding and knowledge of your will and your plan and your wisdom poured out to mankind. Lord, we thank you for this precious gift that you have wrapped up and handed to mankind. You have presented yourself, Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. The precious gift that every man and woman and child needs, you provided. And we come before you this morning praising you and thanking you for that. We may not understand all of the hows and the whys, but we know what you have done for us, and we thank you for that. And may you work in our hearts, and may this season be a time of worship and praise to you in celebration of the precious gift, Jesus Christ, that is provided for us and abides with us still. Thank you, Lord. May you fill this place with your presence. May you work in our lives. May you be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you heard the phrase, "Were you born in a barn?" Phrase used a lot in agricultural areas. In other words, shut the door, it's cold in here. It shows a response to or implies a lack of comfort. And we have to realize it's not a choice place to be born. Have you ever thought about birthing a child in a barn? Most of us wouldn't even consider it unless it was an emergency. Some children have been born in some strange places, but most today are born in a hospital or at home. But Mary was not home. She'd come to Bethlehem, along with a multitude of other people who were coming there to be taxed, to be put on the census and taxed. But why did it have to happen then? to fulfill the prophecy that this child would do exactly what God said this child would do. In other words, God himself would fulfill his promises to mankind once again. When we look at the manger, when we look at the meaning behind being born in the manger and what that implies, the first thing we see is that the manger pictures the rejection of Jesus Christ. It pictures him being rejected of man. As a baby, to be born innocent, without any say, is hard for us to grasp. Here's God, Emmanuel, God with us, submitting himself to this lowly place. Why was he in the manger? Well, that wasn't their first place that they went. They went to the inn, but it was full, and there was no room for them there. We look around Bethlehem, and there's room for business everywhere. Businesses are going. People are doing things. We find that there were people doing the things that they want to do, pleasure. We find that there was room for other people. Did they get there too late? I don't know. But the way God worked it out was that God, Emmanuel, would be born in a manger. Because that's God's plan. The manger pictures his rejection. And we find that Jesus Christ is rejected by the world. In Isaiah 53, one that I covered a few weeks ago, talking about the coming of the Messiah. In verse 53, in verse 3, chapter 53, verse 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men," speaking of Christ, "a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not." He is describing man's rejection of the Messiah. We see that picture here in the manger. Another verse, set of verses actually, in John chapter 1 describes the coming of God in the person of Christ. In the first 14 verses of John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He was rejected. Rejected of men. God came into the world. The world that was made by him, and the world did not recognize him. They did not accept him. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power become the sons of God." We will see some do receive him. Not everyone rejects Jesus as Savior. Not everyone rejects him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This rejection still continues on today. His birth is rejected. Some deny that Jesus was born of a virgin. His life is rejected. He is not who he says he is. Even in his day, they told him he was not who he says he was. His resurrection is rejected. Someone stole him. He did not raise from the dead. His promises are rejected. He has said this, but he is not doing it. We find the rejection goes on and on, and it will. Because as long as mankind rejects God, they will also reject Jesus Christ. Because the Father and the Son are one. He is rejected. And this rejection will go on. Amazingly enough, it'll go on even after he has been here as king for 1,000 years. There will be people who reject him even after that, which is just boggles my mind. But people who would turn against him and try to fight against him. How do you fight against God? Well, we see pictures of it all through the Bible, don't we? That's man's sinful nature. And those who reject the Son, we find, will also be rejected by the Father. The Father said in Mark 9, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." God the Father speaking, proclaiming, declaring Jesus, the Son. And demanding that mankind listen to him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in John 14:6. We find that the Spirit also testifies of Jesus. John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Father, the Son, and the Spirit all declare Jesus Christ to be the Savior, to be Lord, to be Emmanuel, God with us. Each give testimony of who Jesus is. Those who reject the Son will be rejected by God. Why does mankind go to hell? Because they reject Jesus Christ as Savior. So the manger pictures the rejection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the manger also pictures his resurrection. Him coming again. But you know, that has to do with this other word. Redemption. It pictures his redeeming power. He has redeemed us, redeemed mankind. How? By the blood that he poured out as the Lamb of God. As the Lamb of God. There are two signs that are given to the shepherds when you read the story, the Christmas story in the different Gospels. You'll find the angels coming to the shepherds. And there were two things that they were to look for. The first is that they would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, different than normal. They would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, which are strips of cloth wrapped around the baby. They were not rich. They didn't have much. The God of the universe, the creator of all, born in a manger, wrapped in strips of cloth. Not laid in a royal robe, like mankind would think. There was no baby clothes for him, no diapers, no blankets, Not all of the things that we think a child needs. He was simply wrapped in cloth. And the other sign is that he would be lying in a manger, a place set up for animals, a place to feed the livestock. And most of us understand that that is not the cleanest place in the world. This is where our Savior was born. Why? Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. What better place could there have been? What more fitting for a lamb to be born? John 1:29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." John understood who Jesus was. He understood why Jesus came. And when we look at Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the Lamb that had to come for salvation, the Lamb that had to be slain for mankind, we understand why he was born where he was born. A portrayal and a picture of who he is. But Paul also connects the birth of Christ with the cross. In Galatians 4:4-5 it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." They tie together. And again in Philippians 2:5-8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here in both of these passages, we have the portrayal and the picture of the Son of God, this babe born in the manger, and the purpose for which he came. The Lamb of God. And it says, "And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." God was made in the likeness of mankind. And his name is Jesus. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. He was not born in a mansion. He was not in the palace. He was in the stable. And he walked among the ordinary and the common people. When we look at the Lamb of God in Revelation, I'll turn over there, and what does the Bible say about the Lamb? Look at chapter 5 of Revelation, starting in verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That is the Lamb of God. And again in Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wow. Now, that's the Lamb of God that we're talking about. Now, these are things that are yet to come, but it's still the same child that was born in that manger all those years ago. We're speaking about the Lamb of God here. We're realizing that he came with a purpose, he came with a plan, and he fulfilled that part. And get that idea, it is only a part of his plan. He's not done. His redemption covers us into the future. The blood of the Lamb of God creates in us freedom, gives us the ability to worship him in the future. With the angels, with all that are on the earth and under the earth, with thousands and thousands of thousands, with numbers that cannot be numbered, we get to be part of that as the children of God. And what are they doing? They're worshiping the Lamb of God who is worthy. The manger pictures his redemption. The Bible says, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, shouting forth his praise. And the manger also pictures his availability. And this one really jumps out, because it really answers the question, why was he born in a manger? The first announcement that came of the birth of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God, came to the shepherds that were out watching their flocks by night. And we find, of all of the people that the angels could have come to that was in the area, the government that was there, the kings that were there, the religious leaders that were there. God didn't send his message to them directly. He sent it to the shepherds. And what is the purpose of the shepherd? The purpose of the shepherd is to watch over the sheep. The shepherd, which is another name for Jesus, is the great shepherd. How fitting it is that God would send the shepherds to first come to the Lamb of God. The Lamb that was born that night. Watching over their flock out in the field with the sheep. And yet the shepherds were the first to see the Lamb of God. Apart from Mary and Joseph. And maybe some animals. The shepherds came in to see this great event that these angels had told them about. If you remember the announcement, one angel came to them, and then suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. That had to have been amazing, to be out there watching the sheep. They're all bedded down, they're all relaxed, they're all calm. You're out there in the dark with the stars, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, things light up. A great announcement. So they went to see. They left the sheep, and they went to find the Lamb of God. They heard the message, and then they responded to the message. That's the key. When God gives us an announcement, and we listen to that announcement, the next step is to do what he says. And we find the shepherds did that. And after they had seen the child, the Bible says they made known abroad that this child is the Savior, Christ the Lord. They made an announcement. The angels to the shepherds to the people. And they returned to the sheep, glorifying and praising God for what had taken place. The shepherds believed. There were a lot of people in Jerusalem who did not believe. There were a lot of people in Bethlehem that didn't have a clue what took place. There were people all over the world that need a Savior but didn't know. Today we get to proclaim the birth of the Savior. He has already come. He has already provided for us salvation. He is truly the gift of God. We must realize and not restrict or complicate the message of the birth of Christ. Well, what about this way or what about that way? What does the Bible say? What was declared unto us? That we need to spread. He made himself. Have you ever considered that? He made himself into the form of a man. He chose the manger instead of the mansion. That was his choice. It was God's plan. Why? Because he receives all who come to him. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." The kings restricted who came to them. The leaders, the Jewish leaders, the government leaders, they chose whether to let people come to them or not. But Jesus put himself in such a position that anyone could come to him, that the lowest person could come to him, because he was humbled. He laid himself out so that anyone would feel welcome coming to Jesus. The religious, the kings, they have a hard time with that. He didn't look like a king. He doesn't have the appearance of a king. He couldn't be sent from God. I mean, look at his life. Look at where he came from. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, Jesus made himself available to all. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That Lamb of God, born those many years ago, the reason we celebrate Christmas is so that we can receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The whole purpose of his coming is to provide for us the gift that God wants to give to us. Why do we exchange gifts? God gave us himself. God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 proclaims that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The most precious gift, it's not gold or silver or treasures, it's Jesus. God gave that gift that we might have life eternal. And having life eternal, that we might live and bring glory to him. So, what do we exchange? What do we give to God? We give him us. We give him who we are. We give him ourselves. Lord, use me. Lord, take me. What did the shepherds do? They went out and did what they were told to do. And then they went back to their sheep. We see from the manger that Jesus was rejected. And we see that he is rejected. He was and he is rejected. At his birth, as he taught and healed, as he went to the cross, as he rose from the dead, as he ascended into heaven, as he lives today, in the time to come, he is rejected. The manger pictures that as well. From his birth, he would be rejected. We see from the manger that Jesus is the Lamb of God to be slain for our redemption. The Lamb of God, born in the manger. The Lamb of God, that God describes to us in Revelation. The Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. What has he done for us? We also see from the manger that Jesus is available to whosoever will call upon him. Do you know Jesus? Do you realize what he has done for you? When we celebrate the birth of Christ, do we acknowledge the fact that God has given us our most precious gift? With it, we have life, eternal. Without it, rejecting that gift of God, we continue on our path of destruction. What does the birth of Jesus mean to you personally? If it's not personal, there's a lot of celebration out there in the world during Christmas time. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Why? Why do we celebrate? Many celebrate for different reasons. But there's one true reason, and his name is Jesus. He is the precious Lamb of God given to us. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Do you know him as the Lamb of God who took your sins? Do you acknowledge him as the gift of God, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as the Holy One? He is God. Do you know him? As you celebrate this week, remember him and worship him. Let's stand together. Father, we come before